Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA.
Yes, it's me and I'm in love again. Had no love and say you know when. You know I love you. Yes, I do. And I'm saving all my love in jail for you. Need your love.
Greed is good. Greed is good. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Greed is very good. For the select four people who run America, greed is extremely good for them. Welcome to the program. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, an oligarchy is, quote, a government in which a small group exercises control, especially for corrupt and selfish purposes, close quote. Let me repeat that. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, an oligarchy is a government in which a small group exercises control, especially for corrupt and selfish purposes, close quote. Welcome to the Savage Nation. You know that I'm not a big fan of double talk. And if I have to listen to one more fraud on the Republican side, now look, we expect fraud on the Democrat side. Let me clear the air. We know they're liars. We know that they're all liars, and we all know who they are. We know they're socialists. But when you see Republicans becoming socialists only for the rich, what does that tell you? Tells you that we have an oligarchy. One of the best articles on this debacle appeared today in theguardian.co.uk by Mr. Nouriel Roubini. It's up on michaelsavage.com. It is not to be missed. And he says this: with the nationalization of Fannie and Freddie, comrades Bush, Paulson, and Bernanke started transforming the U.S. into the USSRA, the United Socialist State Republic of America. This transformation of the U.S. into a country where there is socialism for the rich, the well-connected and Wall Street, i.e. where profits are privatized and losses are socialized, continues today with the nationalization of AIG. This is from yesterday, by the way. This is the biggest and most socialist government intervention in economic affairs since the formation of the Soviet Union and Communist China. So foreign investors are now welcome to the USSRA, the United Socialist State Republic of America. But here's the best paragraph. Like scores of evangelists and hypocrites and moralists who spew and praise family values and pretend to be holier than thou and are then regularly caught cheating or found to be perverts, these Bush hypocrites who spewed for years the glory of unfettered Wild West laissez-faire jungle capitalism allowed the biggest debt bubble ever to fester without any control and have caused the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression. Mr. Roubini says, so comrades Bush and Paulson and Bernanke, who will rightly pass to the history books as a troika of Bolsheviks who turned the USA into the USSRA. Now, who is Nouriel Roubini? Does anyone know who Nouriel Roubini is? Phone number is 1-800-449-8255. No one ever heard of him. But you're going to find out who he is. You're also going to find out that when Giuliani ran for the presidency, remember during the primaries, You thought he could become president. You thought he could win the primary. You thought the people would like him. And I told you he's not going to sell west of the Hudson River. I told you that from the beginning. It's not only his sneer. It's the fact that he's a big city liberal fraud. West of the Hudson River, Giuliani was distrusted. And for good reasons. And the main reason is Giuliani is a fraud. And he should be distrusted. And Giuliani, as you well know, was roundly pushed aside by the American people. He never won in the primaries. But a couple of weeks ago, he gave the most astoundingly comical speech at the RNC, Giuliani did, where he said, well, if you don't vote for the, if you vote for those Democrats, you're going to get a bigger government and more debt. You got to vote for McCain, Republicans, because that way we'll have a smaller government. I said, what the heck is this guy talking about? How could he get away with this? It's impossible to believe he's getting away with this. Now, I don't know Rudolph Giuliani, but I never trusted his sneer. There was something about him that reminded me of the thugs in Catholic schoolyards who stepped on other people's arches and then screamed to the nun that someone stepped on their foot. There was something about him that I didn't like. Well, I found out what it is about him that I didn't like today. An article came out that you're not going to believe in the Financial Times. It says Rank Bexy hires Giuliani to fight U.S. ban. That's a very subtle headline. You want to hear my headline? Here's my headline. Giuliani pimps for suspect drug firm in India, tries to get around FDA. I try to make it, in other words, how do I translate? When I read an article, I got to translate it for my own head, which is how I translate it for your head. And in my opinion, Giuliani has pimped for a suspect drug firm from India that is trying to get around our FDA, which already is too loose. Now, you got to hear this story. Here is India's largest drug maker that had its drugs restricted by the U.S. FDA. And the FDA, as you well know, is another laissez-faire organization under George Bush that has allowed too many contaminated products into this country. The FDA is a toothless tiger. But even they had it step in, and they said, look, we got to stop this because these drugs from India are deadly. Why? The FDA said that this company from India violated good manufacturing practice, and it could not be sure that the drugs, the processing of these drugs in India, took place in sterile conditions, nor that there was protection against cross-contamination of pharmaceuticals, which means if you were buying Valium, a Valium generic from them, you might also have a little Viagra in it. You know what I mean? In other words, you get sedated and you get bent over at the same time. So naturally, the FDA said we can't have these kind of junk drugs coming into America. So who do they turn to? Why, the sterling, ironclad Rudolph Giuliani, the Mr. Clean Rudolph Giuliani, the former U.S. attorney Rudolph Giuliani, the man who brought down the mob, Rudy Giuliani. Mr. Clean Rudolph Giuliani becomes a pimp for this drug firm from India, in my opinion, in order to try to get around the FDA and get their drugs readmitted to the United States of America. But wait, ladies and gentlemen. It gets worse. You're not going to believe this. Here's the next paragraph about your good friend Rudy Giuliani, Republican stalwart. Mr. Giuliani has acted for a drugs company before. He was engaged by U.S.-based Purdue Pharma, a drug maker, embroiled in a controversy over OxyContin, a painkiller. The company had promoted the drug widely as less prone to abuse than other products, but it quickly took hold among drug abusers. In spite of Mr. Giuliani's lobbying efforts, three of Purdue Pharma's execs later pleaded guilty to misleading the public about the drug's potential for addiction. But they had used them as a mouthpiece. Now, here's what I'm getting at. So Giuliani can try to get around the FDA for a firm from India selling contaminated drugs. Okay. Giuliani can pimp for the manufacture of OxyContin, where three of the execs from the company themselves plead guilty to misleading the public about the drug's potential for addiction, but nothing happens to Rudolph Giuliani. Why? Let's go back to my definition of an oligarchy. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, an oligarchy, quote, is a government in which a small group exercises control, especially for corrupt and selfish purposes, close quote. So there it is. That's the opening to the show. In other words, we have absolutely no trust whatsoever in any public officials. We have no trust whatsoever in any politician whatsoever. And we don't know which way to turn. So where did I turn? Well, last night I turned to a bottle of 2003 Gaia Sori San Lorenzo, and I got to tell you, the Italians, the French, they know what they're doing. I mean, look, there are certain things that work. As you know, I've had some problems from a little procedure I had Monday that I wasn't told about by... You see, people actually knew what to what they'd experience from the average colonoscopy, they wouldn't do it. If the average person knew that about only 7 out of 1,000 polyps become cancerous, I think the number going through this Purdue chicken mill called the colonoscopy clinics would drop by 50%. So the medical establishment is as corrupt as Wall Street. That we've known for years. They push drugs on elders that they don't need. They drug our children when the children don't need drugs. They perform procedures that are unnecessary in order to run up higher bills. And that's why I'm talking about the colonoscopy. I haven't even begun to tell you what I'm going to tell you next week when the financial stories die down and why you should be cautious, very cautious indeed, about believing these gastroenterologist guys, because they're just like Gecko on Wall Street as far as I'm concerned. And so since my innards were abraded by this procedure without any forewarning, without any such notice, I am now resorting to the treatment of the ages, which is red wine. And so you say, well, what do you do in times like this? Well, first of all, you tend your own garden. You make sure that your gate locks. You make sure that your Glock is loaded. You make sure your guard dog's teeth are sharpened. You make sure that you don't put anything on the computer that can be used against you. Let us see what else you do. In other words, you go behind closed walls, and you turn inwards, and you go to those who loved you and you love and who you trust. In other words, your family. There's nobody out there in the entire world but you and your family, if you're lucky. And you only know that in tough times. You only know who your family really is when things get bad, because otherwise you have no idea who anybody is. So as I say, I drank a half a bottle of the 2003 Sori San Lorenzo Gaia, and I must tell you, the joints felt as though there was velvet between the joints, and the world became a rosier place where I could even tolerate Rudolph Giuliani and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Today I woke up, and I made a new friend, and he said, would you like to come up to my airplane hangar and see my plane? I said, you fly? He says, yes. He said, well, why? I said, what do you have? He says, I have a CJ6 Nanxing. I said, what is that? He said, it's a Chinese trainer that I fly. I said, well, are you kidding me? He said, no, it's a Chinese airplane made in 1962 that's still in production. 285 horsepower, 9-cylinder radial engine. And the Red Chinese Air Force uses this as an advanced military trainer. And their pilots go right from this airplane into a MiG jet. And I found out that, strangely enough, there are 200 of these airplanes registered in the U.S. I said, sure, I'll be glad to go up. So I got in the car hours ago with the dog, and I drove way up to the field. And my friend met me there, and he opened up the hangar, and there it was, a Red Chinese airplane right in my own backyard. And we just kicked tires, talked about engines, talked about cars. And what I'm getting at is that it's time like this. At a time like this, what you have to do is go back to basics. You have to become who you are. You have to become a real person again. You cannot have any faith in anybody or anything. So you go back to what you grew up with. If you're a Catholic, you go back to church and you pray to God that you're not going to be punished too badly in the next world for what you are on this earth. Notice I say too badly, because you know you're going the other side. I mean, just being born, you know you had original sin. So there's no way out of that one. I mean, you know you're no good. Everyone knows they're no good. If you're Jewish, you get more guilty than you were to begin with, and you make sure you go to Rosh Hashanah holidays and make sure that you definitely fast on Yom Kippur and you beg for forgiveness. With regard to other religions, I have no comment because I don't know anything about them. I know a tad of Judeo-Christian religions, and that's about it. The rest I have no comment on whatsoever. So... you know where I stand in all of this. I've had no faith in Bush from 2000 on, and now we understand that the man The man arrived, and we had 9/11. The man's leaving, we had 9/15. But as I said to you, there's three big months left, and it's not over yet. Now, I believe that Mr. Rubini was correct when he told us that not only do we have an oligarchy, but we have become the Soviet United States of America. Today we are all communists. I'll be right back.
Savage.
God sees the truth but waits. I'm kind of waiting for God to come down and take it back again. Then maybe we'd have a chance. Abuka, buka, 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 buka. Abuka, 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 abuka. Anybody have that guy, San Lorenzo? What a good wine that is. I haven't had a drink. I haven't had a bottle of it since last winter. I can only drink red wine when it gets a little cooler. I get a headache otherwise. It's a strange thing. No headache in the cold weather. Smasheroo in the warm. So there it is. What do you want me to do? Talk about Wall Street? I've talked about Wall Street. Is there any good news in all of this? I don't know. Is there any good news in all of this? Well, here's some interesting news. Pelosi and Kerry may share investor pain as AIG stakes evaporate. In other words, they owned a lot of AIG stock. It says Kerry, the 2004 Democratic presidential nominee, disclosed that his wife, Teresa Ketchup Kerry, had more than 2 million of AIG stock at the end of 2007. When shares are worth $58 a share. AIG has fallen 85% this week to close at $2.69. The lawmakers' aides didn't respond to calls seeking comment. But here comes the punchline. Altogether, 56 senators. I can't laugh, it hurts. 56 senators and representatives had stakes in AIG. And now you know why they wanted to go home early and close down Congress and let Mr. Goldman Sachs, whatever his name is, Paulson, run the show. They wanted to turn the country over to Goldman Sachs. What do you mean they wanted to let us turn it? They've been running it for 10, 15 years already. The United States of Goldman Sachs. 56 senators and rappers had stakes in AIG, Lehman, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Bear Stearns, or Indy Mac Bank Corp. Some of the biggest casualties of the market bubbleth, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. 56 senators! Do you understand that there's no country anymore? It's an oligarchy. Do you get it?
Savage.
You don't remember me, but I remember you. 'Twas not so long ago.
Tears on my pillow. Now, you know, a lot of people have lost a lot of money. If anyone's listening to this show, one thing I've noticed that I saw that the most astonishing thing today, it was the owner of Fox News, Mr. Murdoch, interviewing himself through the sock puppet, Neil Cavuto. He had the sock puppet, Neil Cavuto, sitting there as an interlocutor, asking the questions that he was given to ask, as the sock puppet would. But Mr. Murdoch was very clear about it. It was very interesting to listen to him. I mean, obviously, he's a brilliant man. It was wonderful to see the oligarchy at work today. One thing I didn't see on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or CNBC or any of the other cable channels was one person who lost 1 cent. I saw idiots congratulating each other that the market went up after it went down because they manipulated the market up now after manipulating it down. And they eliminated short selling temporarily on certain stocks, mainly the ones that were held by Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, in order to prop up Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. They eliminated shorting those companies. I couldn't believe it. We have a government controlling what happens to two stocks because the people who are involved in those two stocks are in the government. And everyone in the media, the clowns in the media who don't even know what's going on, are congratulating themselves on how good a job they're doing. But I didn't see an interview with one person who lost everything they had, or one person who lost their pension, one person who lost their a dime. Nothing. It's like it didn't affect the real person. Why? Oligarchy. They don't want you to actually know that. So I have in my hand, just to tell you what I'm reverting to, new friends, old friends, a good bottle of wine, playing with the dog, learning who really loves you and who doesn't really love you, you know, in life. You find out these things. You lock the gate. You load the gun, you sharpen your dog's teeth, you turn on the alarm, and you drink your wine. So in my, I swear to God, this is a pleasure, okay, a little pleasure of mine. Many of you have been with me for 15 long years, and I appreciate you for putting up with me all these years. I have in my hand the first jacket, the hardcover of Psychological Nudity. This book from Savage Productions, Inc. is my first self-published book. I've never, you know, I've written 25 books, but they've all been published by major league publishers. I've actually controlled this from the beginning, and I have to tell you, it's an amazing process to see. So I picked a matte white cover, hardcover, with blue binding. It's unbelievably beautiful to see in this day and age how hard it is to make a book and make it right every step of the way. But here it is. You hear it? That's the hardcover. That's the hardcover of Psychological Nudity. And I am so proud of this book. It's Savage Radio Stories, 75 of them. And to entertain you for about a minute, here is one about going to Coney Island where we saw wax figures when I was a wee lad in New York City. Go around all over New York by subway. And we were like 12, 13. We went everywhere. 12, 13, 14, Manhattan, Hubert's Flea Circus, down in the bowels of the basement of the subways, there were guys selling, like, they weren't porno magazines, they were softcore. And you see the old geezers there lining up looking at the magazines. We try to, like, you look at them, hey, kid, get out of here, get out of here, kid, get out of here. You know, that kind of thing. So we used to like to go to Coney Island, and they had exhibits. I don't know how to describe it. They were like mannequins of wax figures, and there was some of them were scary as heck. Well, one of them was of George Metetsky, the mad bomber of the subway, and it was so lifelike. Like, if you were a kid 12 and you had just been on a New York subway car in the heat for an hour, and you went out to Coney Island and you stood outside one of those exhibits and you looked in, they showed him like in a jail cell. The guy looked like he was going to come out of the cell and strangle you. Well, adjacent to that mad bomber display, there was another guy. This scared me to this day. I have nightmares about him. It showed a guy, I don't know what he did, dismembered girls or women. I don't remember what he did. He was really bad, this one. And he looked like Ordinary Joe, white guy, ordinary guy. And they found him. I remember it was like a mad thing in New York. They didn't know what to do. Girls were being found dismembered. Finally, they tracked this nut down to a chicken farm in New Jersey. I don't remember his name. And he's got like a corpse in a trunk under the bed. I mean, the whole thing, man. So this exhibit in Coney Island of the wax figure shows this guy reconstructed in wax in a little room in the back of a chicken farm with a dismembered girl's body in a trunk. And he's got like blood on his feet with like a blank stare at you. And they show you like the feet and the hands and the blood. It was stuff that today they could never, ever show you. But life was richer as a result. That's in Psychological Nudity. That's the Coney Island wax figures, one of 75 stories. And what I'm getting at is, sure, I'd like you to look at the book. Sure, I'd like you to buy the book. Sure, is it going to change my lifestyle? No. Whether you bought it or you don't buy it, my life's not going to change one way or the other. But I got to tell you something. What's going to happen in this country is people are going to go back to the way America used to be. They're going to withdraw. They're going to stop the excess. The excess is over. The wild, insane excess is over. People are going to go back to the basics, reading books, talking with family members. More of the homespun, homebody America that I grew up with is going to come back. Newspapers could even make a resurgence. Do you know that? That's a strange statement. I haven't read that anywhere. I think people are going to stay home more, and they're going to read more, and they're going to talk with each other more. And that's because they don't trust anybody outside their home. Maybe they're going to try to learn to trust themselves again, to learn how to. In order to trust yourself, you got to learn who you are. Most people don't know who they are. They don't even know what their body is. They don't even know what they're feeling. They're not in touch with themselves. They're living in a surreal world. So my book, I think, is going to become part of America's landscape. I'm the Mark Twain of today. And I really don't give a rat's you know what, about whether or not a critic listening to the show or one of the snotty perverts who thinks that they're literary because they read a book one day and they worked in a bookstore another day and they knew a poet who threw himself in front of a train on the fourth day. I don't care what you think about me. I'm as close to what Mark Twain was in today's day as anybody is. That's who Michael Savage really is. And you put aside my politics, nobody can match the stories in Psychological Nudity, and I want you to have that book for the Christmas holidays. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And I got it out of my system, and I'm glad I said it. Now, if you want to talk about other topics, here they are. We know what an oligarchy is. You know that yesterday I not so kiddingly said, and it was linked up today by Andrew Breitbart, Savage says put disgraced Governor Spitzer in charge of investigation of Wall Street. He knows where the bodies are buried. I love that. And if you click on my site, michaelsavage.com, you can actually listen to it. I like listening to myself at night because there's no one else to listen to on radio. Well, I'm listening to it.
You'll say, what the heck is Savage talking about? Well, I'll tell you what.
No, I love the internet. You can click on and listen to yourself. U.S. has invented socialism for the rich by Nouriel Roubini is a great story. We transformed the U.S. into the USSRA. I warned you Bush was a – who was the first in the media? Here's a short answer question. Who was the first in the United States American media to warn you a year ago that George Bush was not a fiscal conservative but a fiscal socialist? Michael Savage. Who was the first to tell you 3 months ago that George Bush was not through with us yet? Michael Savage. Who was the first to tell you that George Bush is still not through with us? Today's 3 big months left. Michael Savage. Who wants to call me and ask me what I think George Bush will do to us next? Don't call because I 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Is there any good news? Has anyone called who lost money? No. Let's go to the caller. San Francisco on KN. Yeah, is that the right? I'll tell you, I'm still a little whacked out from the procedure. I'm afraid I don't know what I'm. Yeah, KNEW. That's the station. It's my home station. I just signed with them again for a couple of years. God bless them. San Francisco, KNEW. Ella, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mike, I'm a currency strategist, and
Wait, hold. You're a what strategist?
I am a currency strategist. I analyze the foreign exchange markets. And
okay.
I think you're absolutely right that the situation, the bailout, smacks of socialism, but given how long the issue was left to fester, at that point you were looking at institutions that were so connected, they would have brought down the entire financial system, including regular people's mortgages and bank accounts. And
but, Ella, I've heard that it had to be done even though they have to hold their nose and we don't really want to do socialism for the rich and we don't believe in bailouts. And although the Republicans preached no bailouts for 20 years and all we heard was Ronald Reagan this, Ronald Reagan that, until I wanted to puke. Every other day, every false Republican wrapped himself in a flag. Reagan this, Reagan that. What would Reagan do? You're telling me Ronald Reagan would have bailed out Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Bear Stearns, and now AIG?
Well, I think it's unclear.
In other words, all of the fundamentals that the Republican Party built themselves on were thrown out the window in the last week, and now they're still saying that they're different from the Democrats. When people who really know what's going on are saying they're outright naked socialists. But here's the twist, socialists for the rich. Now, I have heard that if AIG went down, the whole country would have gone down. Are you sure of that? The states would have bailed out AIG. The state insurance funds would have bailed them out. Ella, you know that.
Well, somebody had to step up, and the fact of the matter is...
Well, wait a minute. Every state in the United States of America has a state insurance fund, correct?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Doesn't every state in America have a state insurance fund?
Yes.
It does. So in other words, it was not necessarily the federal government's job to bail out this insurer. Why did they do it? And one of the main reasons, if not the main reason they did it, is because they are tied to the ownership of AIG. AIG is tied at the hip to the administration. There's no other reason for it, Ella. It's naked, outright, state-sponsored socialism.
Well, one thing that is a strong argument for the Federal Reserve stepping in to bail out AIG is actually because the Federal Reserve, through their open market operations...
I've heard all of this, Ella. I've heard everything that you've said. We've all heard they had to do it. I don't believe that, number one. And number two, the cost is $1 trillion. Who's going to pay for it? Can you answer that?
In the short term, it's probably going to be halfway financed by you and I and halfway financed by the river.
Wait a minute. What about the free market and free enterprise, which 2 weeks ago was being offered by John McCain and the Republicans as the fundamental difference between them and Obama, who they called a socialist Marxist. Whatever happened to the rhetoric of 2 weeks ago? Free market, free enterprise. This is not free enterprise, but most people don't even understand the basics of the difference between communism and capitalism. We have ceased to be a capitalist system. Our fundamentals have changed under George Bush and Hank Paulson, and we have become a socialist state where the government controls markets, not the free market. Now, if you like the idea that the government is a socialist government and that it's fine that a Republican did it, well, I think the Republicans ought to just take off their red, white, and blue flags and put a little red star on their caps and tell us we thought about it and we couldn't sustain a free market system anymore because we wrecked it, we robbed it blind. We don't know what to do with our G5s. There aren't enough hangars around the world. So we're now switching to a socialist system where we benefit and you can drop dead. And by the way, in another 6 months, we'll eliminate the vote altogether because you're too stupid to understand how we screwed you. Thanks for the call. In other words, the government gave us a colonoscopy that we didn't need, and they injured us at the same time. They gave us a good colonoscopy that we didn't need. Not only did they give us a colonoscopy that we didn't need, but Henry Paulson didn't inject water and air into the bowel to distend it in order to look in there. He injected sulfuric acid. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Ira, you're on the Savage Nation. Welcome.
Delray Beach.
Delray Beach. Delray is good. I've eaten there many a time on Atlantic, near Atlantic Avenue, right off Atlantic Avenue. There's a couple of places I like.
I forgot the name. Whatever.
But what's on your mind? Forget the bad restaurant with the Hell's Angels there. What's on your mind?
You're a bit of fresh air. First, let me say that I grew up in Brooklyn, Brighton Beach, and my uncle used to own, right across the street from Nathan's, was a bar. It was called the before people thought gay was homosexual, it was called the Gay Grill. And he owned
the Gay Grill? It was called the Gay Grill in Coney Island?
Grill, I'm sorry.
All right, fine. So today it's called the Happy Grill because people would get confused. All right, so what's on your mind?
Okay, I'm just saying that I remember listening to you about 2 weeks ago before the Republican convention.
Yeah.
Before Sarah Palin.
Palin.
Thank you. I get a little nervous on the phone. And you were the first Republican that I ever heard say she should go up and politely say, I can't handle it. I have too many personal issues.
But I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative independent. That's where you're confused, Ira, but thank you. The 1-800-449-8. Is anyone listening to this show? Is there anyone listening to the show who lost anything as a result of what was done by your friends in the Republican Party? Is there anyone listening to the show who has lost anything as a result of your friends in the Democrat Party? Is there anyone listening to the show who understands that we're no longer living in a free market economy, but we are now living in a Soviet-style, state-managed economy? Do you understand why this is dangerous? Do you understand what this string of bailouts means politically and personally to your freedom? Do you understand that when we lose the free enterprise system and we become a state-controlled economic system, the next thing we will lose is our freedom itself, where the state will go steps beyond anything you can imagine overnight without any vote and say we are doing it temporarily as a temporary fix like Hitler did. Remember, when Hitler came to power, he didn't suddenly turn it into a fascist dictatorship. He did it by stages. And in each stage, Hitler said, I'm doing this on a temporary basis in order to correct the hooligans in the street. We're going to do this in order to control that. Unfortunately, we have to do this. We're going to abrogate the German Constitution. It's only temporary. But as soon as things settle down in Munich, we'll go back to our constitutional republic. This is exactly what's coming in this country, as sure as I'm standing here. The very same gangsters who have just hijacked our financial system for their benefit, for their own benefit and the benefit of their friends, tomorrow are highly likely to hijack our freedoms themselves and say that they're doing it temporarily to calm markets and to calm people. They're closing down talk radio, or they're arresting this spokesman or that talker, or closing down that newspaper, or taking somebody off the street in the middle of the night because they're not good for the public safety. In other words, welcome to communist China. I'll be back. Savage. And who is it who's on the side of radical Islam? All you've got to do is listen to the voices and you'll know.
Lawyers from New York, from the National Lawyers Guild, or the ACLU.
Always on the side of the death of America. Always on the side of death of morality. Always on the side of perversion. Always on the side of totalitarianism.
No double talk, just one man's opinion.
I know I'd go from rags to riches.
So many of you rubes were raised to think that the Republicans believed in free enterprise and the free markets. And you kept screaming that Obama's a socialist and the Republicans stand for fiscal conservatism, free market this. You didn't even know what you were talking about. You listened to the blowhards in the media who were basically shilling for the Republican Party. They fleeced the country. They mulk the public. They rob us blind. They wreck the financial markets. You wake up and find out that we now have a state-run economy, which is no different than China. Don't you understand that the fundamentals of our economic system have shifted from a capitalist free market system to a communist state-controlled economy? So you say, well, who cares? See, now you're saying who cares. So in other words, we are all communists. So the next thing you learn is there's no vote. You say, well, who cares? I had a good time last night. I ate what I wanted. Shut your mouth. I like that we're a communist now, that we have a state-run economy. What do you care about that? Then you find out people are being taken off the streets who speak out too much. Well, I don't care. They're troublemakers anyway. Then you find out that newspapers are closed down and disagree with the oligarchy. Well, I don't care. I don't read the newspapers anyway. Just shut your mouth. I made plenty of money last year in this communist system, so that's fine by me. Salt Lake City, John, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, how are you? Hey, I just wanted to make a comment about the way you're commenting about the socialism and communist state that we're going to be under. Actually, we're presently under. I just want to make an analogy here and let the public understand how close we are to this. My father...
Let's pause because what you're going to say, I know you're going to say, I only have 10 seconds, so hold on. We'll come back to it. Welcome to the United Soviet States of America. George Bush did it.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. I have a new theme on the show as a result of the fact that we're no longer a nation, a capitalist nation, since we've now become the United Soviet Socialist Republic of America. I am abandoning my motto of borders, language, and culture. The new motto of the ex-Savage Nation is the following. Drink more, love more, trust less. drink more, love more, and trust less. Because, you see, even in socialist countries, people get to make love and, I guess, to drink wine. And they don't trust the government at all in the Soviet in the socialist countries. So, in other words, we have become truly, in that sense, philosophically a Soviet people. The Russians I've known over my life, and I've known quite a few, strangely enough. Casually, when I lived in New York, somehow I became very friendly with a group of Russian emigres. They never trusted governmental officials because they came from a totally corrupt system where the government was what it was, a totally corrupt group of oligarchs who you didn't trust. And I kind of understood it. I mean, I didn't have that jaundiced view of government at that time. But today we are all Soviets because as a result of the phony George Bush, Hank Paulson, Bernanke, and the others, who are now the oligarchs of oligarchs, a government in which a small group exercises control, especially for corrupt and selfish purposes, we have, as Mr. Rubini has said, become the United Soviet, whatever, a republic. And this is something you say, well, how does it affect me? Well, initially, it may not affect you at all. But in the long run, it will affect you very deeply. Why do I say that? Why are we all communists now? And how does it affect you? What do I mean by that? Well, let me go back. There's an article today on michaelsavage.com that I linked up from David Lynch on USA Today, where he says U.S. bends the rules of free markets. It's fabulous. I can't read the whole article, but you can. What I have on my website today, and it's usually very good, is worthy of spending a whole weekend absorbing so you'll get some feeling for what has happened to your country in a few short days. And it reads like this. Throughout more than a decade of recurrent crises in nations such as Mexico, Russia, and Thailand, the United States offered the same advice. Let the market solve the problem and get the government out of the way. Even when the consequences of such economic tough love included widespread joblessness, soaring poverty, and domestic turmoil, Washington insisted on the rule that the market knew best. Now that it's the United States battling financial conflagration, it turns out there are exceptions to that rule, such as Uncle Sam's takeover of AIG, such as the quasi-nationalization of mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, such as putting $29 billion of taxpayer money at risk to facilitate J.P. Morgan Chase's acquisition of investment bank Bear Stearns. Do you understand what's going on? Now you say, well, how will it affect me further downstream? Very badly. Now, old Doc Savage has this to warn you today, and you can mark it down, because just as I warned you over a year ago that Bush was a fiscal socialist because I saw what he was doing, Bush was bankrupting this country left and right. $48 billion for Africa, $62 billion for this one, $12 billion for that one. No congressional approval. He wrote checks. Then they'd give a little two-step speech on Monday morning, and you'd say, wait a minute. How does he have the authority to write a $48 billion check for AIDS in Africa like 3 months, 2 months ago? Where did he get the authority to do that, to spend my money when we have a crisis going on? The answer is he had no authority. He is acting as an oligarch acts, which is any way he wishes. So Putin and he are basically silhouettes of each other. But one is a naked communist and one is not. But make no mistake about it. You're in for some very bad loss of freedom in this country. Why do I predict that? Here is why I predict it. Because if a government can overnight hijack a financial system after wrecking it and bail out its friends, then the next day the government could suspend certain freedoms for certain people in order to protect other people. So if they don't like a certain talk show host, they could say that show is going off the air in order to stabilize the social system. Or they could close down a newspaper, or they could close down a columnist, or they could shut off this or shut off that. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? If you permit socialism in through the door, the next step is fascism. But you don't understand that yet because you haven't heard it from the golfer. And because you haven't heard it from the golfer, it cannot be true. This is the same man who told you that it's not Wall Street to blame for what happened. Why, it's the Democrats, because they created Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Well, of course the Democrats are responsible, as are the Republicans, because both sides of the aisle have very rich people who own the same stocks. So, of course, in that sense, generically, the Democrats are to blame. But the rest of the sentence is, as are the Republicans, i.e. the oligarchy. And so, therefore, what they will do next is undetermined. But I can guarantee you as I sit here, your freedoms are at stake. The very freedoms that your ancestors died for have been stolen from you right in front of your eyes with a quick two-step. They have replaced our economic system with another economic system. Now, over the last few years, there have been arguments about capitalism versus communism. The far left in this country has argued that capitalism is corrupt. Of course, they would never tell you that when a nation such as the Soviet Union had pure socialism, it was more corrupt and it was more despotic, and that people disappeared off the streets and they were put into slave labor camps and work camps, and that every neighbor spied on every neighbor. They would never tell you that, the fellow travelers of the left. And that was because they were trying to bring about a Soviet-style communist revolution in the United States of America. Little did they know that their best friends were in the Republican Party. Little did they know that the very people that they feared and hated were their best friends. How did they know? San Francisco, KNEW. Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Comrade Michael. I'm glad to hear that somebody's...
Jeff, we have to make this very fast. It's not a conversation. Make your point, please. It's a national show. They want to hear your wisdom. Fire that torpedo.
I find it kind of ironic that 2 weeks ago I decided to pick up 1984 and start reading it, and I find that's exactly where we are today, is exactly what's happening in that book. So I think Orwell had it right when he wrote 1984.
Okay, thanks for the call. That's too generic, not a good call. Probably a nice man, but not a good call, because we learn nothing. Let us go back to what Mr. Rubini said, because I brought his name up in the last hour. And I have to go back to this man's article, because I think it's the lead article on MichaelSavage.com. And I want you to read it over the weekend. Please, do me a favor. Here it is. Noriel Rubini, London Guardian. U.S. has invented socialism for the rich. With the nationalization of Fannie and Freddie, comrades Bush, Paulson, and Bernanke started transforming the U.S. into the USSRA, United Socialist State Republic of America. You must read it. Underneath that, Savage says put disgraced Governor Spitzer in charge of investigation of Wall Street. He knows where the bodies are buried. I'm not kidding. You think it's tongue-in-cheek? You're wrong. I mean every word of it. In other words, whoever picks up where Spitzer left off will find out who really benefited from this. And I do not believe that Cuomo is the right man to do it at all. Although he's making the right sounds, you know, that he's going to investigate it, I don't believe Cuomo for one second. I believe Cuomo will cover up for his friends. I think Spitzer was the only one they could have trusted, which is why they brought him down in a hooker scandal. Savage's psychological nudity bears more than politics. It's really a great article by Newsmax.com on my website. You know that the Paulson plan could cost $1 trillion. Why Wall Street wanted Spitzer gone. The pirates of Wall Street need a stable dollar to spend the billions they've stolen. U.S. bends the rules of the free market. Great article. Here's another one. Middle of the page, MichaelSavage.com. Biden loses Obama the Catholic vote. Phenomenal article worth discussing in your church on Sunday. Biden loses Obama the Catholic vote. One of the most astoundingly astute articles I've read on the election. It comes out of London. It is in the London Telegraph in the middle of MichaelSavage.com. And I would like to read the last part of that article for you, if I may, on the Catholic vote, because there's an interesting statement. And so I'm clicking on Biden loses Obama the Catholic vote from the Telegraph by Gerald Warner. The guy's a genius. You want to talk about a journalist who can write, a man who understands what literacy is? You've got to go to England for that. I'm afraid that in America what you have is something else. Let's put it to you that way. So you go to the bottom of the article, and here it is. There are 47 million Catholic voters in the United States. One quarter of all registered voters are Catholics. At every presidential election in the past 30 years, the Catholic vote has gone to the winning candidate, except for Al Gore in 2000. This year, 41% of Catholics are independents, up from 30% in 2004. Let me pause right there. That's because they all listen to me. Some claim that practicing Catholics were the decisive factor in the crucial swing states in 2004. In Ohio, 65% of Catholics voted for Bush. In Florida, 66%. They were drifting away in disillusionment from the Republicans and split 50-50 until Joe Biden worked his magic. This is electoral suicide by the Democrats. So what are they talking about? Talking about Biden putting his foot in his mouth about abortion. We're talking about Biden twisting the entire doxy of the Catholic Church to say that abortion is okay and it's okay according to Catholic doctrine. It's so ugly. It is so ugly that 55 bishops have finally come out saying that Biden is trash. And what you don't know is the same thing has happened to Nancy Pelosi. House Speaker Pelosi, according to this article, had already done the same thing on the same program. In her instance, citing St. Augustine, even the torpid U.S. bishops could not have false doctrine glibly broadcast by public figures misleading their flock. So the counterattack described here last week began, culminating in a statement from the U.S. Bishops' Conference. Do you know that something like 57 bishops have condemned Nancy Pelosi for her twisting of the Gospels itself? Do you understand that this is the same Nancy Pelosi who, during the violent homosexual parade, where men were beating each other up in the street in leather and whips, said that it doesn't offend her as a Catholic grandmother, that it doesn't offend her at all to see this? This is the same woman who will go along with the mobs in this city who attack the Boy Scouts and not say one word about these deviant psychopaths who in public are undressed and beating each other up in parades? And you think that this is not seen by the people? Well, finally, even the bishops have had enough. And even the silent bishops who say nothing had to come out and say to Nancy Pelosi, we condemn you. And they said it to Biden as well. That's why the article's so important for you. Biden loses Obama the Catholic vote. Down on my page, michaelsavage.com, is a wonderfully important article which shows you where we're going. Dementia sufferers may have the duty to die. Yes, I'll repeat myself. A top medical ethics expert in the United Kingdom says that dementia sufferers are a burden to the healthcare system and should be killed. I warned you about euthanasia. I warned you that although it was being pushed by liberals, it was really being pushed by fascists. I warned you that it was Hitler who used euthanasia, and it was not so strange to me that it was the left in this country that was in favor of euthanasia, as you can see in Oregon, where most of the left-wing fascists live around the river. On the right side of the page, Giuliani pimps for suspect drug firm in India, tries to get around FDA. Those are my words. That's my opinion. Read it and see if you agree or disagree. African refugees seen as major problem for Israel. Oh, really? You although they're shot on site by Egyptian troops at the border, African refugees are ripping off the Jews of Israel because they're flooding into Israel to rip off the Jews of Israel because of liberalism, which prohibits the Israelis from acting like men. That's because they aren't, because they become a feminine oligarchy. Israel was the first to go in the West. We're not going to be the last. I'll be back. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
I would say this. In terms of subprime and the resets, the worst isn't over. The worst is just beginning.
Now, that was our esteemed Treasury Secretary, Henry Paulson, last February. And I would say that in France 100 years ago, they would have sent a man like Paulson to Devil's Island for what he has done to the economy. I mean, he is the Treasury Secretary. But today, in these times, he'd be sent to Fire Island, not as a punishment, but as a reward. Symbol shot, bang. Masters of the Universe, We Are Ruled by Naked Emperors. Another great article on michaelsavage.com from the London Telegraph by Gerald Warner. This article, is that the one with the picture of the clown on the bottom left? You know, I wish we had journalists like this in this country. In other words, people who went to college, are literate, understand things and can write and have a sense of humor. Sarcasm. It does almost non-existent in America. What we have are bloggers who pass for journalists, who the politicians trip over. But there's one great line in this one that I love. And he says, this is the age of fools in high places. And he says, the redundant dealmaker from Lehman Brothers clutching a black plastic garbage bag as he makes his way out into deserved oblivion would not have given you the time of day a year ago. At dinner parties, he would have sneered down anyone who suggested the remotest vulnerability in the Wall Street Leviathan and opened another magnum of vintage champagne. It's beautiful writing. He calls them overgrown schoolboys. And it's worth reading. He says, the other infallible dogma is man-made global warming, with the melting of the polar ice cap so advanced that an environmental propagandist in a kayak cannot canoe northwards to within 100 miles of where a predecessor paddled a century ago when the ice was supposedly more widespread, yet the BBC broadcast climate change propaganda as relentlessly as Radio Moscow extolling tractor production figures in the Caucasus circa 1949. See, but that takes literacy. In order to understand that paragraph, you need not have listened to talk radio for the last 10 years to the golfer. Because if you have, your vocabulary is so diminished and your mindset is so limited, you couldn't even understand that paragraph. But I'm going to change America. I'm going to help you understand what's going on in your surroundings and how you are now a Soviet citizen and how your freedoms have not only been stolen from you, but they've only begun to be stolen from you. Today, the economy, tomorrow, the printing press. Today, the economy, tomorrow, talk radio. Joining me momentarily is our special ace reporter, Rick Roberts on the Savage Nation. And Rick has the honor of giving out too many free copies of Psychological Nudity for the next, God, hour and a half. I'm going to go broke.
Savage. Welcome to Savage Nation. I'm Rick Roberts, in for Michael Savage. And Michael, thank you once again. It's always a distinct pleasure to be in for Michael from time to time. As Michael told you, we're going to be giving away some of Michael's brand new books, Psychological Nudity. A collection of, what is it, 75 stories. You pick it up, you won't put it down. He mentioned you need to have it at Christmas time. Absolutely. But buy an extra because you'll start reading. And then you'll sit down and you'll read it and you'll put off engagements. You'll put off other things until you finish the thing, see? And then it won't be all nice and crisp for a present. So get a couple of them. You may do that this afternoon, as a matter of fact. Psychological Nudity, Michael Savage's new book. Go to michaelsavage.com, by the way. Communism for the Rich? Yeah, well, you need to take a look. michaelsavage.com. We'll be doing that in a little bit more. Also, Wall Street is now saying, well, this crisis is not going to affect the voters' choices. Okay. All right. Wall Street crisis won't affect the voters' choices. The crisis on Wall Street is supposedly driving more voters toward Democratic nominee Barack Obama. Before you start taking that to the bank, that was a USA Today Gallup poll. And as my grandfather, God rest his soul, used to tell me, he raised me, and he used to tell me, you know, son, polls are good for generally one thing, and that's fishing. And I got older, I realized, man, this guy is so smart. Isn't it funny how the older you get, the smarter your parents become? It's incredible. Too bad we can't have that insight when we're younger. But that aside, according to the USA Today Gallup poll, yeah, this little tick on the economy is not going to, it's not going to do, it won't do anything. No. If it's doing anything at all, it's pushing some people toward Barack Obama. I beg to differ. I'd like to see the polling data. Actually, I'd like to see the polling verbiage, because you can get the American people to basically quantify, qualify, and codify anything that you come up with if you ask the question in a particular way. You've heard Michael Savage talk about that. And that's generally what a lot of people do that are pushing a special interest. We need a poll to back up and give some credibility to this data. All right, how do we do that? We sit down with a bunch of wordsmiths, and we figure out how to ask a leading question to get the result that we want. That's what they do. Well, anyway, they took the survey Wednesday. 29% of registered voters said the crisis makes them more likely to vote for a communist or Obama, compared with 23% who said they were more likely to vote for McCain. But 43% said, no, the virtual collapse of major financial institutions, yeah, it's really not going to affect one thing or the other. Well, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, have we really become that cynical? Have we really become that complacent, apathetic? And in many cases, the answer was yes. And I started thinking about it. I started thinking about Obama. Now, you know, I've never been a huge fan of McCain, especially with McCain-Feingold, McCain-Kennedy, and it goes on and on and on. And as usual in this country, we're picking the lesser of two evils. But having said that, in this particular case, it's a much different scenario, a much different dynamic is at work in this election cycle. I mean, yes, you have a candidate within the GOP that, you know, the conservative base is not just screaming from the rooftops, yay, he's my guy. But on the other side, you have a virtual socialist, a virtual communist running for the White House with 143 days of political experience. And not only that, but when you exploit the troops with boots on the ground for political purposes in the way that he has done, it's unconscionable. You know, while campaigning for, we need to get the troops out. In the meantime, he's meeting with the Iraqi prime minister talking about, well, you know, you probably don't want to negotiate this drawdown agreement just yet. What you probably need to do is get an extension. You know, that Bush administration, it's confused right now, and it's obviously very weak. You probably want Congress to come back from their adjournment after the first of the year and maybe put it off until then. Excuse me? Anyone that calls themselves an American citizen that would allow boots on the ground for one day longer than they have to be, as far as I'm concerned, is guilty of treason at the highest level. And, of course, someone argued with me this leave the next day. No, it doesn't. I'll draw you a scenario, okay? For the liberals out there, get out your crayons, all right, the big one. All right, there you go. Are you ready? The big chief notebook? You open it up? Okay, and you're going to have to draw around the big wood knot right there in those pay. Okay, good. Here we go. It's just like if you go fill out an application for employment, all right? The employer's got to take some time to verify your references, maybe to check out your schooling. You know, it's not just one of those, you hand them the application, they look at it and say, fine, you're hired. There's a process. Now, let's see. Shall we go ahead and fill out that application, turn it into the employer today? Or do you want to go ahead and do it after the first of the year? Which one is going to get you employed quicker? Well, having said that, I was thinking about Obama and all of the things that surround him, all the peripheral issues around Barack Obama. And it's frightening. It's absolutely frightening. I want to read you something, and very rarely do I ever read from a prepared text. You know, I know that Michael Savage listeners can read, and I assume most of mine on my show can too. But this is what I want you to hear. It's not very long. Do we really want this kind of change? Each year I get to celebrate Independence Day twice. On June 30th, I celebrate my Independence Day, June 30th. And then again on July 4th, I celebrate America's independence. This year is special because it marks the 40th anniversary of my independence. On June 30th, 1968, I escaped communist Cuba. A few months later, I was in the United States to stay. That I happened to arrive in Richmond on Thanksgiving Day is just part of the story, but I digress. I've thought a lot about the anniversary this year. The election year rhetoric has made me think a lot about Cuba and what transpired there. You know, in the late 50s, most Cubans thought Cuba needed a change, and they were right. So when a young leader came along, every Cuban was at least receptive. When the young leader spoke eloquently and passionately and denounced the old system, the press fell in love with him. They never questioned who his friends were or what he really believed in. When he said he would help the farmers and the poor and bring free medical care and education to all, everyone followed. When he said he would bring justice and equality to all, everyone said, praise the Lord. And when the young leader said, I will be for change, I will bring you change, everyone yelled, Viva, Viva Fidel. But nobody asked about the change. So by the time the executioner's guns went silent, the people's guns had been taken away. By the time everyone was equal, they were equally poor, hungry, and oppressed. By the time everyone received their free education, the free education was worth nothing. And by the time the press noticed, it was too late because they were now working for him. By the time the change was finally implemented, Cuba had been knocked down to third world status. By the time the change was over, more than 1 million people had taken to boats, rafts, and inner tubes. Now, you can call those who made it ashore anywhere else in the world the most fortunate Cubans. And now I'm back to the beginning of the story. Luckily, we would never, never fall in America for such a change. We would never fall in America for a young leader who promised change without at least asking, what change? How are you going to carry this change out, and what will this change cost America? No, America would never fall for that. Would we? It was one of those reads that really grabbed my attention, put things in perspective without all of the caterwauling and the political ad here and the political ad there. We've got to do something. We must do something. Let's go to your calls. Thank you so much for your patience. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-TALK. Let's go to Susan. Susan in Sacramento. Susan, welcome to the Savage Nation. Hi.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I'm just very outraged about this bailout today, and I think Mr. Paulson should be investigated. And I don't think people realize that this man, right before he came to the Treasury, cashed out stock options worth about $500 million. And what I want to know is, did this man benefit from this turmoil? Did he profit from it? And whose interests is he protecting now? Is it the interests of Goldman Sachs? And who is running this country? Is it him, the bankers?
Susan, that is absolutely a given. I don't know two people that would argue what the statement you just made. My question is, Susan, who do we get to investigate? Who investigates?
Exactly.
Where does the buck stop? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. And then people that say that, you know, some of the Main Street people that think that this is not going to affect them in any way, they're dead wrong. I think this bailout is going to cost us trillions and trillions of dollars, and they're going to saddle us with high taxes for decades to come. You think that it's hard to make ends meet now? Just wait till they tax the death out of all of us.
Oh, well, not only that, we have lost any decent type of credit rating, which means we pay more in interest, which means the American taxpayer gets to pay for the bad decision-making and the bad business practices of Washington. Now, you wouldn't do that for your cousin. Cousin Vinny, you know, love him to death. He's part of his blood, but, you know, the guy can't hold a job. You know, he thinks he's rich as long as he's got a piece of plastic or checks in the checkbook. This poor guy couldn't finance a piece of bubble gum at a decent interest rate. He goes out here to one of these places that finances him. He's paying 20% plus, and guess what? Guess what? We co-signed the note. Well, where's Vinny? He's off again. Guess who's holding the bag? Now, boiled down to the lowest common denominator, to street talk, that's exactly the situation we're in. Uncle Sam's bailing everybody out. My question is, Susan, who's going to bail Uncle Sam out?
They're either going to inflate us out of this to where our dollars are just worthless. That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, I don't know how to help you with the nightmares. I want you to get a copy of Psychological Nudity, though. Go through those stories, because they will take you through a range of emotions. And hopefully that will allow you to calm yourself along to get the rest you need to get up and fight the good fight the next day. Because trust me, it is just that critical. It's just that critical. Rob in New York. Rob, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Rob?
Good. I just wanted to mention George Orwell's Animal Farm and the great quote in there, "Some animals more equal than others."
Some animals more equal than others. And where do we fall, do you think, Rob, at this particular point in time in the nation's history? Where do you think we, the people of the United States of America, not the People's Republic of America, but last time I checked, the United States of America, where do we fall within that?
Oh, we're definitely the sheep that that bob back the party line.
Yep, absolutely. That made me laugh. That's a good quote. I may pull that off the shelf this evening, Animal Farm, just for fun. I may do that. All right, 1-800-449-8255. I want to take your calls. I want to make sure you get a copy of Michael Savage's new book, Psychological Nudity. It's a great, great book, and it's a great, great read. And we're going to give some of those away on the show. Also, michaelsavage.com. You know, a lot of what Michael talks about on the show is put on the website, because he knows a lot of you are back and forth and up and down. And okay, what did he say 10 minutes ago? I was gone. Well, go to michaelsavage.com. You're going to find a lot of the information right there. And you want this. I know you do. Justin in Salt Lake City. Justin, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Justin?
Hey, I just wanted to make the quick comment here. I mean, with all these bailouts going on, you have to look. They're basically selling the American citizen, you know, overseas now. You have to look at it. With all this debt that we are accruing because of all these bailouts and because now we're indebted to China, we're going to be paying this off for like two generations. and then they want to up taxes on businesses. How do they plan on paying this off other than taxes? I see no other way.
You know, I hate, you know, I laugh before I cry. I laugh because it's not funny in a jocular sort of way. It's funny because it's like, if you don't laugh, you're going to be beating your head against the wall. Yeah, you want to know who's going to pay off this debt? Go look in the mirror and then go into your children's room as they're sleeping and look at them and say, man, I'm doing everything I possibly can to give them some type of quality of life right now and to prepare them for the opportunities that lay ahead, or at least that I hope lay ahead, for their future and their children. And that's what you can look at when you look at this ridiculous, unconscionable, and I keep using this that word because it's the only one that I can think of that totally defines the anger, the frustration, the resentment I feel of what my government has done to me. All right. We're going to take your calls. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-TALK. I'm Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Savage.
Is confidence, and confidence is hard to come by
at
a time,
Lord,
when there's so much bad news emerging from our financial markets. What we have now is a man-made disaster.
Right.
A disaster that sprang, that comes from the Bush failed policies, the failure of the Bush administration to steward our economy in a responsible way.
Right. How does an empty-headed fool like that ever get elected to any level of political office is beyond me. Unless, of course, she is catering and kowtowing to people that are more empty-headed. I don't get it. That, of course, Nancy Pelosi, yeah, well, this is Bush's fault, like that Hurricane Katrina deal. Look, Bush didn't help. He's been a globalist from day one since he was governor of Texas. Everybody knew that. And once again, he was elected because we were picking the lesser of two evils. But for Nancy Pelosi to sit there and say, well, all this man-made disaster came from the Bush administration, either she's too stupid to be in her current position, or she is so biased that she is absolutely bulletproof to any common sense. Do you see what I mean? The common sense just flies off of her. It gets nearer. It's like a bubble of some sort. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. It's always a pleasure to set in for Michael from time to time on the Savage Nation. It's a real pleasure to be able to give away some of his new books, Psychological Nudity, and we'll do that here in just a little bit. Also, michaelsavage.com. Don't forget that. Kurt in Chicago, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Kurt?
Very good. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Well, you know what? I disagree with that we should definitely bail this out. And the reason I say that is because the last time we were in a situation like this was the late 20s, early 30s. And that was when they let people buy stocks with putting 10% down. This time they let people buy houses with nothing down. And back in the early 30s, they said, you know what, it's the investors' problem. Let them deal with it. And that's what caused the Great Depression. So I'm sure they're using that as their model for saying, let's liquefy the system. As long as people are working, we'll be able to pay this off. If we don't, we're going to go into a depression, then no one's working.
You know, Kurt, I know that argument, and that argument has some validity, but I look at it this way. I don't think the federal government needs to be involved in the day-to-day finances of the American people to the degree that they are now with this type of bailout. There are insurance companies in every state in the country. Now, I'm sorry, how many states does Obama think we have now? 58 states, isn't that what he said? Obama said he visited all 58 states, according to Barack Obama. We all have different insurance vehicles whereby we can insure investments and insure deposits in banks. I just have a real problem with the federal, in the key word, federal government swooping down and bailing everybody out, because the federal government doesn't have money. They take the money from us. And I just, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm for smaller government. Smaller government. That's what I'm for. And I don't see the government getting any smaller. I see the government getting much, much larger. And I see that tax bill getting much, much larger. And I see the interest on the debt getting much larger. And I see our credit rating as a nation going down, which means higher interest, which means we pay more. I just think there are better ways to go about it. That's all I'm saying, Kurt. I know I know the argument, and I might agree with it at some level, but not in totality. And certainly, I think the states ought to be working on this themselves instead of all eyes north trying to figure out what Daddy Bush or anybody else is going to do for them. And you know what? Some banks need to fail. Some people need to be thrown out of their home. They shouldn't have got the loan in the first place. And some of the loans that were made were bad loans, bad paper to begin with. If there was predatory lending practices going on, we got laws on the books that address that. We just don't need to rewrite the story every time we tell it. That's all. That's all I'm saying. All right. I promise you, I've got the books here, Psychological Nudity, Michael Savage's brand new book. I'm going to give a couple away in just a second. All right, let's do that. I'm Michael Savage, setting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. Always a pleasure to set in for Michael from time to time. Michael, thank you. Pleasure to be here in the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-TALK. That's 1-800-449-8255. We'll take your calls. Also, we've got copies of Michael's brand new book, Psychological Nudity, we're going to be giving away. I want you to go to michaelsavage.com. Make some time at some point today. Make some time and go to michaelsavage.com. You're going to see some very, very relevant information as it applies to the throes of this economic crisis we're in. And if you're sitting around wondering, man, how did this happen? Heck, how did we end up in this jackpot? Go to michaelsavage.com. All right, let's go to Betty. Betty in Tucson, Arizona. Betty, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Betty?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I want to make one quick comment before I go to what I called about.
Sure.
I have a son with a journalism son with integrity who won a Peabody Award in June.
Wow, amazing. You must be very, very proud.
Very, very proud of him. But the reason I called, and I have worked on a congressional staff 30 years ago, here's what I think should be done to avoid this in the future. I think all of the oversight committees on the Hill should be disbanded because all they are theater under the TV cameras for these legislators to pontificate. They don't get anything done. So we get rid of the oversight committees. Number two, we hire forensic outside auditors teams to go into these companies and audit them. The charge for the audit goes back against the respective company. Number two, if they have their stuff together, it won't take as long for the audit, so it won't cost the companies as much. And number three, the companies can write off the expense as a business expense.
Betty, I like your style. I like your style very much. Betty, do you have a copy of the Psychological Nudity yet?
I don't. And I'm part of the generation of when pasta was spaghetti, because I'm Italian.
Pasta was spaghetti. You know, I had a roommate for many, many years, and I probably shouldn't say his name. I won't say his name. But he came from a big Italian family. The grandparents moved from the old country. They lived upstairs. The other generation lived downstairs. This guy, I would walk in. I would walk in. I could smell it. I could smell it like a mile away. It would take 2 days to make sauce. And by the time it was ready, there was very little left to put on the pasta because you would eat it throughout the cooking process. It was fantastic. Betty, I want you to have a copy of Psychological Nudity, Michael Savage's new book. You've no doubt heard about all the stories that are contained therein. Do you have a favorite that you're looking forward to reading?
The pasta.
The pasta. Back to the pasta. All right, Betty, you stand by. We're going to make sure you get a copy of Michael's new book, Psychological Nudity. Thank you, Betty. Let's go to Bob. Bob in Las Vegas. Bob, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, good. How you doing?
Very well.
The reason why I called is everybody's getting bailed out but the guy at the bottom, and it always happens. I've owned a mortgage company. I've been in the mortgage business here in Las Vegas for 15 years, and I've always played by the rules, paid my taxes, played by the rules. 4 years ago, Wall Street decided to be creative. They did. They did.
Is that the word you use? Okay, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
Better word. Let's say creative.
Okay.
So, you know, I lived on the philosophy of 30-year fixes, 15-year fixes, you know, the usual stuff. So they decided with other people's money, you know that, right? Other people's money.
It's always other people's money.
Well, that's why I'll get into the regulation in a minute, okay?
Sure.
But anyways, they've been creative. Because of their creativity, they caused our problem. Okay? No money down, interest only, pay option arms, all that. Because of their stupidity, my company is hanging on by a thread. Okay? 5 years ago, I was doing fine. Everybody was playing by the rules.
Five years ago, Las Vegas was one of the fastest growing cities in America.
No, I'm not talking about the growth. We still have growth.
Well, I mean, you had huge, huge numbers of new homes being built.
Absolutely. But you know what? Those new homes had their own lenders.
That's true. That's true. And where are those guys right now?
Out of business.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it goes back to what I was talking about. I played by the rules, okay? So what happens is they came up with all these creative financing. Now, even if I wanted to sell the 30-year fixes, the way Lehman Brothers and the rest of Wall Street, the way they set it up, is they'd make no money, very little money on Fannie and Freddie loans, okay, which is basically a regular loan, 30-year fix. The way they make their money is on this creative stuff. They package it up, sell crap paper, as A paper. Standard & Poor's said, oh, this is all A paper, okay? That's what happened, okay? So what they did was they mixed the good and the bad, and basically it was all bad.
Right.
So now what happens is these guys made millions and billions of dollars, okay? So let's go back to the guy like me. Now I have a depressed economy. I have depressed housing. No more buyers, no more refis because they're upside down on their
right,
own.
Right, right. Okay? Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah.
Yeah, they get bailed out. What happens to a guy like me?
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
You find a creative way to stay in business or you find another line of work in the short term. That's the only thing there is because not only is Uncle Sam bailing the top tier out, you're paying for that. And at the same time, you're really in a very macabre sense of thinking about things, you're really paying for the destruction of your own business. That's what you're doing by virtue of the fact that you're paying for the bailout. It's not good news. It's not something I would like to say, oh, Bob, well, what you need to do is you need to shift your accounts receivable over here, and then what you want to do, you can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. The only thing you can possibly do to eke out some type of living until things come back is try to do the cleanest business you can and stay as far away from any federal loan programs as you can. Because your money is going to bail those guys out. And at the same time, you're really working against yourself. And that's the way it is all across the country. All across the country. Bob, I wish I had better news for you. I don't. I don't have any better news for you. It's inherent in that particular industry. What should happen? The CEOs, the people, the accounting people that had responsibility for the oversight, they should all be held. There should be a trial held, much like the first O.J. trial when it was all O.J. all the time. You remember the first trial where he killed his ex-wife and her friend? Yeah, that trial. There need to be public trials on television just like that, public humility, public shame, and then they ought to be thrown in prison and all their assets taken for time immemorial. That's what should happen. That, my friend, that would discourage. That would be the discouragement needed to make sure that the oversight people do their job, to make sure these creativity people stay within the guidelines of the federal parameters, which they haven't. The presidential candidates like Obama would be working for the people, not against the people. He was right smack dab in the whole middle of the Fannie Mae thing. Did he ever step up and tell one of his cronies? No, I don't think this is a good idea because it's going to hurt the people. No, he took the money and he ran. And why have you not seen him for the last couple of days? That's why. That's why. Bob, it's a sad story. And I can't make it any better. There's no way I can make it any better. There are all kinds of ways to manipulate the market if you've got the ear of the federal government, if you've got enough money or access to money. There are all kinds of ways to do it, and it's wrong. And people should be held accountable and jailed, and everything should be taken from them. Chris in Portland, Oregon. Chris, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, hi, Rick. Thanks. And quickly before I make my main point, my empathies to the gentleman in Las Vegas, Bob, who, by his own admission, played by the rules.
Yep.
Unfortunately, there weren't any rules for his side of the business for the mortgage brokers. I've worked on Wall Street for nearly 20 years now, and since the Great Depression, since the crash of 1929, our industry has been regulated to the extent that the advisor, the person that works with the end client, has to make a recommendation to that client that is in their best interest. Whether that client understands that or not, that advisor is potentially on the hook for his career and possibly go to jail if he makes anything other than that. Bob and his colleagues weren't regulated in that way. And had they been regulated, they never would have made the recommendations to their end clients when they didn't have the income to ultimately pay that. That would have prevented the folks in my industry, the Lehman Brothers, the Bear Stearns, et cetera, from ever having the funny money, the funny paper to make the creative stuff. The government failed to step in and regulate those people.
Well, you know, there are some levels of regulation, not federal regulation, but there are. I have some very good friends that are mortgage brokers. One very, very good friend has been a friend for over a decade and probably one of the finest, most upstanding, most honest people that I've ever met and ever worked with. And he's doing just fine. He's not feeling any problems, but he's done good, clean business for the last decade. I won't mention his name, but I mean, he's done good, clean business for the last decade. And yeah, times are tougher now than they have been in the past, but still, there are those people that are making a living. And you know, there are going to be people that get caught in the switches by the same token. Generally speaking, let me give you my foundation of belief. My foundation of belief is that the government should stay out of it. Unless, of course, we want to create a socialist state or a communist state. You know, it's closer to communism than it is socialism. I don't think the government ought to be getting involved. And people can scream all day long, well, if they don't, then it's going to be worse for everybody. Well, that's not a good basis for argument in my mind. It's just not. You know, the states have different insurance vehicles alive and well to oversee some of this. And basically what this is padding for global ramifications or the lack of your juice in a global economy. That's what this is. And I understand that. And I understand you've got to be a player. But you know what? You can do it in a free market enterprise. You can do it in a free market system. You don't have to get in and swoop in with other people's money and bail these people out. Number one, nobody asked me. Number two, I don't think we can afford it. And number three, I don't know how we're ever going to pay back that debt. When I say we, I mean quite literally you and me. How we're going to pay that back, I don't know. Keith in Tucson. Keith, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Rick?
Good, Keith. Thanks.
Just one question on the on that Italian friend of yours. When you went into his house, did they live in the basement and the rest of the house was the show place?
No, but you didn't go into the what would be termed nowadays a formal living room. It was a living room. But, I mean, nobody even would breathe air in there. I mean, you know, plastic covers and you just didn't go in there.
There's something cultural about that, but they had some of the best food going.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
The point I called about was basically it's a sad state of affairs when the people who were supposed to be practicing oversight are actually getting vast sums of money from the people that they're supposed to be watching. I know that Barney Frank got a whole lot of money. He's on the list of the top four people that got of money from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And at the same time, there's another name that shows up on that top four list, and that's Senator Obama.
Yeah, and why is no one talking about that? Why are you not hearing that in the lamestream media? The lamestream press will not touch that with a 10-foot pole. You know, very few people are talking about that. The fact that Obama was right in the big middle of this, rubbing shoulders, having three martini lunches with the players in this whole debacle and profiting from it monetarily. Yet nobody's talking about it. Don't want to talk about that. Well, we don't want to, you know, that could work against him, and he's already got a tough road to hoe, you know, with that Palin, and she's all cute and everything. So let's just not talk about it. No, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's go to the people that profited from this, line them up, hold them accountable, and have them pull out their wallets. All right? We'll take that. We'll take that Visa, that MasterCharge. Go ahead and max out that debit card. We'll need that, too. Let's just go right down the row, shall we? They owe us. They owe us. They work for us. They're our employees. They've been skimming from the top. Every time they sell a loaf of bread, a little for me and a lot for you. That's the way it works. We need it back. All right. Your call straight ahead, 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-TALK. This is Rick Roberts in for Michael Savage, and you're on The Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Michael, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to sit in for Michael from time to time. 1-800-449-8255. Also, got some more books to give away. And I'm not upsetting Michael, am I? I'm giving a whole lot of books away. Okay, good. Michael said, look, I want the people to have them. And every chance I get, you're going to get a copy of Psychological Nudity, the brand new book. The collection of 75 stories that you've heard over the course of The Savage Nation. It's a great read. You got to check this out. Also, I want you to go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com, and plan to spend a little time there. You know, get your sparkling beverage or your coffee or tea, whatever, sit down, because it's not brain fluff. It's good stuff. You got to go there, michaelsavage.com. Let's go back to Las Vegas. Nick. Nick, thanks for waiting. You're on The Savage Nation. How you doing, Nick?
Good, thank you. My comment is about the fact that this whole ordeal with the financial thing that's going on is going to affect numerous generations, and kind of how it affected me in a sense is when I was younger, you know, I wasn't making a whole lot of money and I wasn't real responsible with my money, and I had to ask my parents to help bail me out, and they bailed me out a few times, and eventually I was able to learn the value of a dollar. But for future generations, they're just going to continue to think, well, the government bailed everyone else out, so they're going to have to bail me out also.
Well, it is without a doubt socialism, verging on communism, pure and simple. That's what it is, especially at this level. You know, this is not the government's business, or it shouldn't be, unless we advocate all our responsibility and the future of our children and their children to the United States government. I don't want, Nick, I don't want to live in the People's Republic of America. I don't want that. I would like to carry on some semblance of what this once great nation could be again, but we can't do it with the lack of leadership we have now. We absolutely can't. We can't do it with the whole lobbyist mentality. We can't do it without campaign finance reform. We can't do it without term limits. There are a bunch of things that need to be done, and none of those things will be done, Nick, unless the American people say, we want it done. Nobody gets a vote unless it happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, and this continues. You know, I work in social services, and my clients, they expect us or the government to give them everything they want. They don't want to have to work for it on their own. They don't want to learn what the value of a dollar is.
You know better than anyone else. You work in social services. It's an entitlement mentality. It's got to stop. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage.
There will be ample opportunity to debate the origins of this problem. Now is the time to solve it. In our nation's history, there have been moments that require us to come together across party lines to address major challenges. This is such a moment. Last night, Secretary Paulson and Chairman Bernanke and Chairman Cox met with congressional leaders of both parties, and they had a very good meeting. I appreciate the willingness of congressional leaders to confront this situation head on.
All right, stop. Stop. And I don't mean to disrespect the office of the presidency of the United States of America, but just stop. You know what this is? Here's the bottom line. What was that very compelling statement by President Bush just a moment ago? It was a very good meeting. Well, I'm glad to hear that. There'll be ample time to look for the wrongdoers. Will there be ample time for the taxpayer to pay back this debt that our government has foisted upon us and still have some quality of life now and in our children's future? This is nuts. And I'll tell you why this is crazy. And I mean that in every sense of the word. You know, politicians, and I'm using that, I'm painting with a very broad brush, I realize that, but politicians, you know, they get us going at each other. I mean, literally, it's like, you know, some vampire movie. We're literally going for the jugular on both sides of the aisle. What are they doing? At the end of the day, they turn the lights off, the cameras go off. Those guys go off to dinner together. Hey, it's your turn to buy. No, it's not. You Republicans got all the money. No, I'll buy the drinks. You buy the... That's what happens. You know, don't give me this bipartisan, we reach across the bipartisan aisle to fix the blah, 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 blah. Both Republicans and Democrats made out like bandits on this deal. Just ask Obama. They made out like bandits on this. You know, we're the stooges, evidently. We're the people just walking around bumping into trees going, how much is that on April 15th? Oh, let me get my checkbook. In the meantime, they keep us going at each other. And when the dust settles and the lights go down and the cameras go off, they're walking arm in arm off into the Washington, D.C. sunset to go have dinner someplace. You know, at the risk of being redundant, it was too good. Michael, just a little bit earlier, was talking about Rubini. And it's so good. It's such a good read. And again, I want you to go to michaelsavage.com. Please, please do that. With the nationalism of Fannie and Freddie, comrades Bush, Paulson, and Bernanke started transforming the U.S. into the USSRA. That's the United Socialist State Republic of America. No, you liberals are shaking your head. Oh, yeah, here we go again. No, you listen for a second or read at michaelsavage.com and then draw your argument. Okay? I'd love to hear it. This transformation of the U.S. into a country where there is socialism for the rich, the well-connected, and Wall Street, what I'm just talking about, after the cameras go off, profits are privatized and losses are socialized, that's you and me, continues today with the nationalism of AIG. That whole thing with AIG followed a variety of, I don't know how many other policy actions that imply what? A massive government intervention in the financial markets and the economy. Bailout of Bear Stearns creditors, bailout of Fannie and Freddie, the use of the Fed balance sheet. I don't know how many sets of books they have, but the balance sheet, hundreds and hundreds of billions of safe U.S. Treasury swap for what? What'd they swap it for? Junk. As Michael said, toxic, illiquid private securities. The use of the other GSEs, the Federal Home Loan Bank System, and you people in the business know what I'm talking about, to provide hundreds of billions, can you get your head around that number? Hundreds of billions of dollars of liquidity to what? Distressed, illiquid, and insolvent mortgage lenders. This is the beginning of communism. That's what this is, pure and simple. I'm not trying to be a shock jock or whatever the critics write about people that are on the radio that give you the truth, but that's the truth. It's the truth. The use of the U.S. Treasury to manipulate the mortgage market, the creation of a whole host of new bailout facilities to prop up and rescue banks, and for the first time since the Great Depression, one of the previous callers was talking about that, to bail out non-bank financial institutions. Now, I don't care what side of the political aisle you find your seat. This is the biggest and most socialist government intervention in economic affairs since the formation of the Soviet Union and Communist China. Period. End of story. Take it to the bank if it's still solvent. It is. It is. There's no way of getting around that. Absolutely no way of getting around that. You're either okay with that or you're not okay with that. Everybody's still looking for their little piece of the government pie. Well, you only need to look to each other because we are the government pie. And in truth, we probably always have been. Tyler in Modesto. Tyler, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks.
Hey, I called because I'm excited about the new book, and I was going to see if I can name a story and snag a copy.
All right. Now, tell me, you're going to read this book cover to cover, and then you're going to pass it off to somebody, right?
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow, I'm getting it, and then I'm going to give it to my buddy for his birthday.
There you go. Okay, Tyler, what story, and there's a collection of 75 stories. It's a fantastic read. What story are you most looking forward to in the book, Psychological Nudity?
why liberalism is a mental disorder.
Okay. Well, Tyler, I'll tell you what, we're going to make sure you get a book, all right? Psychological Nudity, the brand new book by Michael Savage, a collection of 75 stories that you may have heard or heard portions of or never heard at all. And it is so well written. You're going to enjoy this. And then, Tyler, I want you to, if you decide to keep it, which you probably will, get your buddy a copy. Will you do that?
Yeah, I will.
All right. Tyler, I appreciate it very much. You stand by. We'll make sure you get a copy of Michael's new book, Howard in San Antonio. Howard, thanks for waiting. How you doing, Howard?
Doing very well. Thank you, Mr. Roberts, for taking my call. Michael, earlier in the broadcast, was indicating what have we lost, and he indicated all of our freedoms, and that's true. But there is one little nice part of this, because thinking citizens have gained a large dose of reality and truth this week. All pretense that we're free is gone. And what we have here is a conspiracy at the highest level of the Fed, the SEC, the Treasury, and the executive, and the legislative branch to basically make us slaves to the world. We became, through no vote of mine, and of course I'm sure not yours, we became involuntary guarantors for bad debt. These people take an oath of office when they come in that they won't sell their office. They sold the whole nation. They didn't stop at office. They sold the whole nation and made us guarantors for all of this bad debt. The Fed and the Treasury pumped all this money into the world, and the banks took it out and loaned it creatively, as prior callers have said. Wall Street bundled it all up into these securities, and then they sold them around the world to guarantee. And we haven't even talked about the derivatives market, because when we accept responsibility through our legislators and the executive here for all of this bad debt, the derivatives market is at the end. It just multiply everything by just put a number out there, figure out a number. So when you said, how are we going to pay for this? Well, number one, we're not ever going to pay for this. You will pay this debt with your life, not for the rest of your life, but with your life, your children's lives, your grandchildren's lives. They have basically made us involuntary servitude or slaves and guarantors to the rest of the world, because all of this debt was owned by China, Japan, Germany.
That's right. And guess what happens when you start your bailout routine the way we started at the first of the week? What happens to your credit rating as a nation?
Oh, it's good. Well, they know they own us at this point in time. It doesn't make any difference what our credit rating
well,
is.
Well, it does, in the sense that if your credit rating is that bad, the interest rate does what? Goes up, which means you pay unbelievable amounts of interest on your debt. And who pays that, Howard?
Well, you, me, the best thing that you – see, I've lived my life in a solvent fashion. I've saved gold. I've saved cash. I bought land. I had no credit. I don't owe anybody anything. But my own government has done exactly to me what I've avoided personally all my entire life, was to stay solvent without any problem. I was watching one of these stupid shows this last week as I saw history unfolding, and these four talking heads, one of them was saying, the market is spinning down, it's spinning, what's going to happen, what's going to stop it? I yelled at the TV, the ground. Any plane that goes in a tailspin hits the ground. But instead, our government has given the entire world a golden parachute. Not just executives and one or two corporations. They've given the entire world a golden parachute, and we're the guys on the bottom going to be sitting here with our Social Security payments and tax payments for the rest of eternity. There is no end. We will never – this is quadrillions of dollars up there that we're talking about, because once they accepted responsibility for it, we're on for the whole enchilada. And the whole enchilada doesn't just stop at AIG and a couple other guys. We're in debt to the world for everything, forever. So
What better way, Howard? What better way?
Out, I think. Now, this is going to sound crazy, but personally, of course, stay solvent. You know, keep yourself solvent. But the Supreme Court's the only one so far that hasn't joined in this conspiracy. Now, we all know that they, just like you just said, they walk down the street together at night and they go to dinner at night. But if one of them or two of them or three of them have a little bit of guts, there is possibility, because this violates the Constitution. You're talking interference with contract. The government has no right to interfere with contractual duties. Now, if we go back to that and somebody sues to save us, it's possible the Supreme Court could say that the government has no ability to do what they did by placing us all into a position to accept debt, because it is communism. It's communism.
Well, it is pure and simple communism, and you're right about the constitutionality, or in this case, the lack of constitutionality, that someone will step up and do that. We simply have to find a way to live with this now. We have to find the people responsible. We have to hold them accountable. And we have to hold them accountable in such way, in such a way that this will never, ever, ever, ever happen again, not in our lifetime, our kids' lifetime, because at the end of the day, it's like Michael says, you know, he's been talking about it forever, just like the Dubai ports deal. He's been talking about forever. This country is being sold out a piece at a time, a piece at a time. It's like a giant garage sale. You know, I went on that rant a long time ago about I want my country back. Man, I had no idea what I was saying at the time. You know, it's like they stick a giant garage sale in every front yard. Not who's they, Rick? The politicians at every level of government, city, state, and federal government. Giant garage sale signs. How much for this? How much you want for that? How much is this school? How much is that? What about that educational policy? How much is this over here? We got a price tag on everything. Except, guess what? The money doesn't come back to you. It doesn't flow back to you. It stays in Washington where it's dispersed among the cronies, the wink, wink, nod, nod, good old boy network that's been alive and thriving off your tax dollar. They just got tired of going out every Sunday morning and putting up garage sales, so they decided to do it all at one time, swoop in with a giant tax-funded bailout. That's what it is, pure and simple. This is socialism. This is communism. Your country is precariously close to being lost forever. Forever. What better way for a group of politicians to come in and say, well, you know, the debt is so high. That debt is so doggone high. The only way that we're ever going to come back to some parity is if we globalize. Maybe we should globalize. That European Union, not a bad idea. How about a North American Union? Homogenize the Mexico, United States and Canada, then we have more juice in the global market, and we can leverage some of this debt down. You wait. You tick-tock, tick-tock, tick. You wait. It's coming. It's coming. And the only way it's ever going to stop is if the American people rise up, and I'm talking liberals, conservatives, independents, best of breed. I don't know where you fall in that line. You know, people, well, you're not a good Republican. I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative independent. You know, I listen to everybody. If it's a good idea, it makes common sense, and it is going to impact in a positive fashion my country, my community, and my family, I'm for it. I don't care whether you got a D or an R in front of your name, or an I in front of your, or nothing in front of your name. But at the end of the day, everybody's going to have to stand up on their own two legs, grow a pair, and say to every level of government, you can't have the country. It's not for sale. It's not for sale. We don't allow you to sell the birthright of so many fallen men and women that have sacrificed everything to preserve this country. No, you can't do it. But that's not what I'm hearing. That's not what I'm hearing now. I saw it when Presidente Jorge Bush tried to implement that blanket amnesty for upwards of 20 million. Well, they're just here doing work, see, that Americans won't do, which is absolutely categorically false. You stuffed it back in Washington's face during that period of time. Man, that was just that was the proverbial tip of the iceberg in comparison to what we're facing in this economy right now. Man, you got to get busy. You got to get on your horse. You absolutely have to. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage, and it's always a pleasure to be on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage, and you're on the Savage Nation. Michael, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. MichaelSavage.com. I'm going to say it again. It's that important. MichaelSavage.com. You need to go there. You need to go there. A lot of what Michael talks about on the show is there, things that because of the constraints of time, you can't get to. That is there. The information you need to fight the good fight is there. MichaelSavage.com. Also, the book, Psychological Nudity, brand new book from Michael Savage. It's a collection of 75 of the stories that some of you've heard in their entirety. Some you'll revisit, some you haven't heard at all. You need to pick this up. This is fantastic, Psychological Nudity. And we want to give a couple more books away. I want to do that if we have time to do that. As a matter of fact, let's do that. Marilyn in San Francisco. Marilyn, how you doing?
Fine. I was just going to say, I always, besides his Teddy stories that I've enjoyed from the past, one of my favorites is Tippy the dog, how he would, you know, let people in, but he refused to let people out.
Yes. Yes. Is that right. The story you're looking forward to, Tippy the dog?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, Marilyn, I want you to have a copy. Michael wants you to have a copy of his new book, Psychological Nudity. You stand by just a second. We'll make sure you get a copy of that book. Like I said, it's a collection of all the stories. And, you know, I have to laugh when I hear them because I can remember exactly where I was when I heard the stories. I've heard about Michael talk about his dog and the boat. And, you know, I can relate to that because, you know, a lot of times I was listening to Michael sitting on the boat with my dog. So you got to get a copy. Psychological Nudity. Darren in Wyoming. Darren, thanks for waiting. How you doing, Darren?
Hey, Rick. It's such an incredible honor to talk to you. You're at the risk of using an overused phrase. You are a great American, and you're a true conservative.
Well, thank you.
There are so few of them left, Rick. Rick, I would have been willing to have my meager $75,000 IRA go through the storm drain if it would have just made things better. I would have been willing to do my part to take some personal responsibility in this mess. I feel betrayed, and I think that we're being sold down the river. I think that future generations are going to curse us for what's happened. But you've heard from me before. I work in the oil and gas business. I was in Alaska this winter and wrote you a letter, and I want my country back, Rick.
Well, this is the thing, Darren. You don't need to offer up your $75,000 IRA. You need to work diligently, as hard as you possibly can, to hang on to those things that you have earned. And see, that's the very thing that liberals don't understand. Many people that are making a good amount of money earned every nickel of it, every single nickel of it. They scrimped, they saved, they went without, they did what they had to do, they sacrificed time, whatever it was, to get to a certain point economically in their lives. And liberals say, well, it doesn't really matter why you're here, whether you scrimped or saved or you were born into it, doesn't matter. You need to give some of it to someone else. And you're absolutely right, Darren. Generations to come will look back and curse us, and they will measure us by what we do next. And that's the real question. What do we do next? Because that is indeed how future generations will measure this generation. Oh, my God, they didn't pay attention. How could they let this guy do that? And how could they let the government get away with that? And how could they allow oversight to be so lax? And, you know, what were those people thinking? When they say those people, they're going to be talking about you and me. Well, and you know what? They're going to be right if we don't stand up and do something right now. You want your country back? You've got to get busy because it's a very, very small window. And the window is closing. It's closing rapidly. You've got to get up. You've got to contact every single political position within your community, within your city, within your state. And I'm not talking about just the political affiliation that you enjoy. I'm talking all politicians, Democrats, Republicans, independents. You've got to get a hold of all of them and say, no, you can't have the country. It's not for sale. And then you got to follow up. I'm Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.